Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. We are going to start off tonight with some NBA playoff news. This is entitled, Heald Leads Warriors Past Rockets in Game 7. Warriors 103, Rockets 89. Golden State wins the series 4-3. Buddy Heald scored 33 points. Stephen Curry tallied 19 of his 22 points in the second half. And the Golden State Warriors rode a stifling defensive performance to a 103-89 road victory over the Houston Rockets on Sunday and a 4-3 victory in this Western Conference first-round series. The 7th-seeded Warriors advance to play the 6th-seeded Minnesota Timberwolves, with Game 1 set for tonight in Minneapolis. Their Game 7 win over the Rockets prevented the Warriors from blowing a 3-1 series lead and resulted in their 5th playoff series win over Houston since 2015. Curry came alive when the Warriors needed him most, producing a driving layup and a 3-pointer to open the 4th quarter. They extended the Golden State lead to 75-62. Heald drilled a 3-pointer with 8:18 left for his first basket of the second half before Curry scored again for an 82-70 lead. Heald shot 12 for 15 overall and 9 for 11 from beyond the arc. Curry added 10 rebounds and 7 assists to his ledger, while Jimmy Butler posted 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. Draymond Green added 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 block shots. The Warriors repeatedly stuffed the Rockets at the rim. Houston had little success in the paint, excluding Amen Thompson, who thrived with 24 points on 9 of 16 shooting and 9 rebounds. Alperen Sengun paired 21 points with 14 rebounds, but made only 9 of 23 shots. The Rockets shot just 40.5% and missed 12 of 18 three-pointers. The Warriors finished 18 for 43 from beyond the arc. The Warriors forged a 6-point lead in the opening period before the Rockets clawed back, pulling even at 13-all and securing their first lead when Jalen Green scored through a foul for a 19-17 lead with 1:24 left in the period. But Heald drilled a 42-foot three-pointer to beat the buzzer and supplied the Warriors a 23-19 lead entering the second. The Warriors shot 6 of 12 from beyond the arc in the frame, and behind Heald maintained that shooting touch for the remainder of the first half. Tari Eason shaved a 10-point deficit to 33-29 with a corner three, only for Heald to respond 3.5 minutes later with back-to-back three-pointers that bumped the Golden State lead back to double digits. Curry didn't record his first basket until 33.3 seconds remained in the half, a three-pointer, and the Warriors carried a 51-39 lead into intermission on the back of Heald, who scored 22 points in the half. And in the other game from Sunday, Pacers take Game 1 versus top-seeded Cavs, Pacers 121, Cavs 112. Andrew Nembhard scored 23 points, and Tyrese Haliburton had 22 points, 13 assists, and 3 blocked shots as the Indiana Pacers pulled away for a 121-112 road win over the top-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals on Sunday night. Pascal Siakam and Aaron Nesmith each scored 17 points, and Miles Turner had 13 points, 11 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks for the 4th-seeded Indiana, which handed the Cavaliers their first loss of the postseason. "We're definitely the heavy underdog, but we're trying to control what we can," Haliburton said. "It gives us a lot of momentum for sure, but this is the best team in our conference. They don't lose much." Haliburton's 3-pointer with 6:21 left put the Pacers ahead for good at 104-102. "Being the point guard is like being the mom, trying to take care of everybody," Haliburton said. "I guess if we win the game, it means I'm a good mom." Cleveland shooting guard Donovan Mitchell scored 33 points, but he shot just 13 of 30 from the field and 1 of 11 on three-point attempts. The six-time All-Star broke Michael Jordan's NBA record with his eighth straight 30-point game in a playoff series opener. It's always good to be in great company, but we lost, and I shot 30 times. Jordan won game one, and I didn't, Mitchell said. We didn't play our best basketball. We've got to play better. We missed a lot of open looks, yeah, but we've still got to find a way to win. Ty Jerome had 21 points and 8 assists, and Evan Mobley posted 20 points and 10 rebounds for the Cavaliers. Cleveland played its third straight game without All-Star guard Darius Garland, who sprained his left big toe against the Miami Heat on April 23rd. Cleveland was sluggish from the tip in its first game in 6 days, falling behind by 11 in the first quarter and 12 in the second. We did a good job of trying to make it tough, flying around, Nembhard said. Nesmith had 3 three-pointers in the first 5 minutes of the third period, extending Indiana's lead to 80-68. The Cavaliers responded moments later with a 13-0 run, fueled by 9 points for Mitchell. And in Monday night's games, Knicks take down Celtics in Game 1. Knicks 108, Celtics 105 in overtime. Knicks lead series 1-0. Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby each scored 29 points as the visiting New York Knicks earned a 108-105 overtime victory against the Boston Celtics in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals Monday night. The Knicks overcame a 20-point deficit in the third quarter and sealed the win when Mikal Bridges stole the ball from Jaylen Brown after Boston inbounded the ball with 3 seconds to play. During the fourth quarter, Brunson tied the game at 89 with a three-pointer and 91 on 2 free throws before giving the Knicks their first lead since the second. His three-pointer put them up 94-91 with 4:07 to play, and his third triple of the period extended New York's advantage to 6 points, but Boston responded with a 7-0 run to take a 98-97 lead. It was 100-all when Brunson missed a layup with 2 seconds left. After a timeout, Jason Tatum missed a three-point shot at the buzzer. The game went to overtime, where Anunoby's dunk and foul shot and Bridges' three-pointer gave the Knicks the cushion they needed to finish the comeback. Carl Anthony Towns was in foul trouble for much of the game, but had 14 points and 13 rebounds in 31 minutes. Josh Hart had 14 points and 11 boards, and Bridges recorded 8 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, while playing 51 of the possible 53 minutes. Brown and Tatum each tossed in a team-high 23 points for Boston. Tatum also had 16 rebounds, and Derek White put up 19 points and 11 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis was scoreless in 13 minutes during the first half and didn't play in the final 2 quarters in what the Celtics called an illness. Boston's Sam Hauser also went to the locker room with an ankle injury with 28.5 seconds remaining in the third quarter and didn't return to the game. Boston led 26-25 after one quarter and outscored New York by 15 in the second quarter to take a 61-45 halftime lead. The Celtics scored the final 8 points in the half. And in the other game, Gordon's three-pointer gives Nuggets the win. Nuggets 121, Thunder 119. Nuggets lead the series 1-0. Aaron Gordon hit a three-pointer in the closing seconds to score 22 points and lift the Denver Nuggets to a 121-119 road victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 1 of their second-round Western Conference playoff series. With 9.5 seconds remaining and the Thunder up by 1, the Nuggets' Russell Westbrook fouled Chet Holmgren. Holmgren missed both free throws, giving Denver an opening to finish off the comeback. Christian Braun grabbed the rebound, fed it to Westbrook, who barreled down the floor before finding Gordon for the game-winning three. The Nuggets hadn't led since the first quarter, trailing by as many as 13 in the fourth quarter. But the Nuggets ended the game with a 19-6 run to knock off the top seed in the Western Conference. Nikola Jokic scored 18 of his 42 points in the fourth quarter. hitting a pair of three-pointers and eight free throws. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 33 points to lead the Thunder, who had not played in 9 days. Oklahoma City didn't make it easy on Jokic, using several different players to defend him. Jokic showed frustration multiple times with the way he was being guarded. With less than 7 minutes to play, Jokic elbowed Lugans Dort in the jaw while Dort was guarding Jokic in the lane. Dort remained down for several moments, and after a lengthy review, Jokic was called for a flagrant 1 foul. It was Jokic's 5th foul of the game. But Jokic never picked up his 6th foul and scored 16 points from that point on to help the Nuggets stay in it for Westbrook and Gordon to team up for the final play. So where they stand in the NBA Conference Finals in the East, 4-seed Indiana is 1 game up on Cleveland. Their next game is tonight at Cleveland. New York is 1 game up on Boston, New York being 3-seed, Boston a 2-seed. Their next game is Wednesday at Boston. In the Western Conference, Denver is 1 game up on Oklahoma City, their next game Wednesday at Oklahoma City. And Minnesota and Golden State start their series this evening. And over at the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, in the conference semifinals, starting with the Eastern Conference, Toronto is 1 game up over Florida, 1-0. They won their first game 5-4 over Florida. Their next game is Wednesday at Toronto. Washington versus Carolina is the other East Conference matchup. Their first game in that series is this evening. Then over in the Western Conference semifinals, Las Vegas versus Edmonton, their first game of the series is this evening. And Winnipeg versus Dallas, their first game of that series is tomorrow evening, Wednesday. Now over to some Major League Baseball, starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks. On the right road, Diamondbacks 11, Phillies 9 in 10 innings. D-backs blow a big lead, but escape Philly with a victory. This is by Nick Piacoro of the Arizona Republic. After Josh Naylor won a race to the first base bag for the final out, the Diamondbacks had secured an emotional victory. Not everything went as planned. They blew a big lead, watching as a handful of relievers endured difficult days, but they survived and escaped Citizens Bank Park with an 11-9 win in 10 innings on Sunday, May 4th. It was a sort of microism of their road trip. After 6 games against the top 2 teams in the National League East, the Diamondbacks return home with a 3-3 record. They did some things well, and some things not so well, and they managed to not get flattened by teams they could have to go through if they want to get to or advance in October. It was enough for manager Torey Lovullo to give them a grade that was neither a pass nor a fail. A little bit incomplete, Lovullo said. We haven't played our best baseball yet. We've got to start clicking on all cylinders. When we do, everybody's going to know. I think that group in there is fighting to find that. In some ways, they were closer to that on Sunday than they had been in a while. The offense pounded out 12 hits, turning in its best performance in weeks. The Diamondbacks scored 11 times without the benefit of a home run. They got 4 hits from Gerardo Perdomo and 2 apiece from Corbin Carroll and Jose Herrera. They worked 6 walks, battled through tough at-bats when they needed them, and even stole 2 bases, one of which led to a run. But then there was the pitching. They led 7-1 after 3.5 innings in the series finale, but the Phillies methodically chipped away at the rest of the afternoon. A passed ball by Herrera helped them score a run in the 4th. Heady base running by Bryce Harper, who moved into scoring position on a deep fly to center, led to another run in the 7th. Weston Wilson blasted a 3-run homer to make it a 2-run game in the 6th. The Diamondbacks led 8-6 in the 9th when the Phillies got a solo homer from Kyle Schwarber that was followed by 3 consecutive singles, the last of which was Alec Bohm's to tie the game. There are some things we've got to tighten up for sure, Lovullo said. But the Diamondbacks' offense scored 3 times in the 10th, and lefty Jalen Beeks held the Phillies down in the bottom of the inning, getting Schwarber to bounce to Naylor to end the game with the tying runs on base. I felt like the offense could kind of come and go, and we didn't play our best, really, on the road trip, but we snuck out 500, Diamondbacks designated hitter Randall Grichuk said. I think there's a lot of potential and upside moving forward. I think if we keep plugging along, it's going to click at some point. The Diamondbacks are 9 games into a 25-game stretch of their schedule that includes almost only good teams. So far, they are 4-5. They are also going through some things. Reliever Justin Martinez is dealing with a shoulder issue that has taken 5 mph off of his fastball and sent him to the injured list. Starter Corbin Burnes is missing a start with a shoulder problem of his own. They only just got star second baseman Ketel Marte back from the injured list on Friday, May 2nd. But that does not fully explain some of the fundamental issues that continued to bog them down during the trip. Everything from mistakes on the field to forgetting how many outs there were while running the bases. And things won't get any easier upon their return to Chase Field for a homestand that includes 3 against the Mets and 4 against the Los Angeles Dodgers in what will be the Diamondbacks' first in-division games of the season. As expected, Lavallo said right-hander Ryne Nelson will be getting the start on Monday in Burnes' place, adding that the club is confident its $210 million starter can rejoin the rotation when his turn comes back around on Saturday, May 10. He's really gassed up, Lavallo said, referring to the fact that Nelson could throw upwards of 85 pitches. We should be just fine. Now the bullpen tweak provides a fresh arm. The Diamondbacks made a roster move ahead of their series finale on May 4th against the Philadelphia Phillies, recalling left-hander Tommy Henry from AAA Reno and optioning right-hander Scott McCoff. Henry gives the Diamondbacks a fresh arm in a game that could be delayed by rain. He offers some protection in the event starter Eduardo Rodriguez is knocked out early, either by poor performance or by a lengthy mid-game delay. The Diamondbacks have not officially scratched right-hander Corbin Burnes from his scheduled start on May 5, but assuming he does not pitch due to shoulder inflammation, right-hander Ryne Nelson is the most likely candidate to start in his place. As such, the Diamondbacks would like to avoid using Nelson in this series finale. Now on to the rest of Sunday's Major League Baseball roundup. Start with Royals smack franchise record 7 home runs, blast the O's. Mikel Garcia hit 2 of Kansas City's franchise record 7 homers as the Royals defeated the host Baltimore Orioles 11-6 on Sunday in the rubber game of a 3-game series. Royals star Bobby Witt Jr.'s tie-breaking home run came in the 7th inning and was immediately followed by Vinny Pasquantino's blast. Jonathan India, Luke Maile in his Kansas City debut, and Michael Massey also homered for the Royals, who entered the day last in the major leagues with 18 homers in 34 games. Garcia and Pasquantino each collected 3 hits for the Royals, who have won 11 of their last 13 games. Jackson Holliday had his first career multi-homer game with 2 blasts, and Cedric Mullins and Ryan O'Hearn also went deep for Baltimore. Next, we have Twins 5, Red Sox 4. Minnesota scored 4 runs in the 7th inning to rally past Boston and win the series. Byron Buxton hit his 7th home run of the season on the game's first pitch, and Ryan Jeffers had a 2-run single with 2 outs in the 7th that erased a 3-1 deficit. Boston's Wyer Abreu collected 3 hits, including a solo home run in the 8th inning that cut Minnesota's lead to 5-4, but Johan Doran pitched a scoreless 9th to preserve the 1-run lead and earn his 4th save. We have Rays 7, Yankees 5. Jonathan Aranda homered, drove in 3 runs, and reached base 5 times as Tampa Bay held on in the late innings for a victory over New York. Aranda homered in the 3rd as the Rays raced out to a 5-0 lead through 4 innings against New York's Will Warren, who's 1-2. He added a 2-run single in the 7th for a 7-2 lead. Aranda finished with his fourth career three-hit game and drew a pair of walks after entering on a 3-for-16 slide over his previous five games. Tampa Bay starter Taj Bradley, who's 3-2, took a shutout into the sixth before Cody Bellinger hit a two-run home run. Then we have the Cardinals and Mets in a doubleheader. In Game 1, it's Cardinals 6, Mets 5. Wilson Contreras went 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs, and St. Louis held on for the win against visiting New York in Game 1 of a doubleheader. Cardinals starting pitcher Eric Fetty, who's 2-3, allowed 3 runs on 6 hits, struck out 4, and walked 5 in 5 innings. Ryan Hensley gave up 1 hit in the 9th for the save. Mets starter Blade Tidwell, who's 0-1, had a rough go in his big league debut, tagged for 6 runs on 9 hits and walking 3 in 3 2/3 innings. Francisco Lindor had 3 RBIs for the Mets. Then in Game 2, it was Cardinals 5, Mets 4. Right-hander Michael McGreevy was solid in 5 2/3 innings of relief to help St. Louis beat visiting New York, sweeping the twin bill and claiming the 3-game series. McGreevy, who's 1-0, struck out 5 and held the Mets to 1 hit and 1 walk in his 5th Major League game and his first this season. Mets reliever Max Krenek, who's 2-1, was tagged with the loss after giving up the eventual winning run in his lone inning in the 6th when Victor Scott II doubled home Yoel Pozo. Next is Brewers 4, Cubs nothing. Host Milwaukee averted a 3-game sweep by scoring 4 runs in the 6th inning after Chicago starter Shota Imanaga departed with injury. Imanaga was knocked in a scoreless duel with Freddy Peralta in the 6th when he reached back and grabbed his left leg while running to cover first. The Cubs later announced that Imanaga had a left hamstring strain. After Imanaga's exit, reliever Julian Merriweather's wild pitch let in the first run. Daz Cameron followed with an RBI single, and Caleb Durbin lined in a 2-run double later in the evening. Peralta, who's 4-2, scattered 4 hits over 6 innings, striking out 7 and walking 1. Imanaga, who's 3-2, who left his previous start Tuesday against the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 6th inning with leg cramps, was charged with 2 runs on 4 hits in 5 2/3 innings. Next, we have Guardians 5, Blue Jays 4. Gabriel Arias had 3 hits and 2 RBIs to help visiting Cleveland defeat Toronto in the rubber game of a 3-game series. Guardians right-hander Tanner Beebe, who's 3-2, pitched 5 solid innings, and Stephen Kwan, Kyle Manzardo, and Angel Martinez added 2 hits apiece. Cleveland has won 5 of his last 6 games. Former Guardian Andrés Giménez led the Blue Jays with 2 hits and 2 RBIs. Now Padres 4, Pirates nothing. Xander Bogaerts had 2 hits and 3 RBI to lead San Diego over host Pittsburgh. Bogaerts drove in all 3 runs off Pirates starter Andrew Heaney, who's 2-3, in the first 2 innings as San Diego won its 5th in a row and completed a 3-game sweep. The Padres recorded their 8th shutout of the season and beat the Pirates for the 9th consecutive time. Pittsburgh lost its 4th in a row and was shut out for the 6th time this season. Elias Diaz, who had 2 hits, had a solo home run. Heaney struggled for the 2nd consecutive outing and has now failed to last 5 or more innings in back-to-back starts. In addition to his 4 runs allowed, he gave up 8 hits, walked 4, and struck out 3 on 100 pitches. Next is Athletics 3, Marlins 2. Rookie Nick Kurtz tripled for his first career extra base hit in the 9th inning and scored the tie-breaking run as the Athletics edged host Miami. Kurtz looped a 1-out opposite field triple down the left field line off Anthony Bender, who's 1-2. The hit had an exit velocity of just 89 miles per hour, but it was well placed and followed by Tyler Soderstrom's pinch hit RBI single to center as the A's took the rubber game of their 3-game series. Mitch Spence, who's 1-0, earned the win with 1 2/3 scoreless innings, while Tyler Ferguson notched his first save of the season. We've already talked about the Diamondbacks' 11, Phillies 9 in 10 innings, so we'll move on to the White Sox 5, Astros 4 in 7 innings. Lenin Sosa drove in 2 runs, and Mike Vasil pitched 2 1/3 innings of scoreless relief to lift Chicago over visiting Houston in a game shortened due to rain. Luis Robert Jr. and Edgar Cuaro had 2 hits apiece for the White Sox. Rookie reliever Vasil, who's 1-1, notched the first victory of his career as the game was called in the bottom of the 7th following a rain delay of 1 hour 20 minutes. Astros right-hander Lance McCullers pitched 3 2/3 scoreless innings in his first start since Game 3 of the 2022 World Series. The veteran right-hander missed the past 2 seasons following flexor tendon surgery in 2023. Now, Giants 9, Rockies 3. Willie Adams had his first 2-homer game for San Francisco. Mike Yastrzemski and Wilmer Flores chipped in with 2-run hits, and the Giants bombed visiting Colorado. Logan Webb, who's 4-2 on the season, coasted through 7 innings for his 9th career win against the Rockies, helping the Giants take the series 3-1. Adams, who had just 2 homers in his first 34 games as a Giant, teed off on Rockies starter German Marquez, 0-6, for solo shots in the first and third innings to get San Francisco's 13-hit onslaught rolling. The 2-homer game was the 8th of his career. Now we have Rangers 8, Mariners 1. Corey Seager and Adolis Garcia both had 2 RBIs in Texas's third-inning offensive uprising, and Jacob deGrom earned his 2nd straight win as the Rangers waylaid visiting Seattle in the finale of a 3-game American League West series. The Rangers ended a 4-game losing streak and salvaged 1 game in the series by finally bunching timely hits and scoring more than 1 run. DeGrom, who's 2-1, went 5 innings, allowing 1 run on 3 hits with 3 strikeouts and 2 walks to garner his 2nd victory since April of 2023. Seattle's Logan Evans, who's 1-1, struggled in his 2nd major league start, surrendering 6 runs, all in the 4th inning, on 11 hits in 5 innings of work. Texas outhit the Mariners 12-4, with Josh Smith leading the way for the Rangers with 4 hits that included a triple, the game's only extra base hit. Then we have Tigers 13, Angels 1. Trey Sweeney drove in 6 runs and Kerry Carpenter drove in 5 to power Detroit to a rout of Los Angeles. Sweeney, Carpenter, and Colt Keith each homered for the Tigers, who have won 4 of their last 5 games. The 34 runs scored against the Angels are the most Detroit has scored in any series since totaling 37 at Houston in 2013. Los Angeles has lost 8 of its last 9 games. Then we have Nationals 4, Reds 1. Luis Garcia Jr. drove in 2 runs, including a go-ahead home run in the 7th, and Washington defeated host Cincinnati to take 2 of 3 in the weekend series. Nationals starter Mackenzie Gore allowed a run on 4 hits in 5 innings, in which he threw 100 pitches, 61 of those for strikes, walking 4 and striking out 9 to add to his major league leading strikeout total, which is now 68. Jorge Lopez, who's 4-0, pitched 2 perfect innings in relief, and Kyle Finnegan worked the 9th for his 11th save. Tyler Stephenson homered for the Reds. Cincinnati starter Nick Martinez gave up a run and 4 hits in 6 innings with no walks and 6 strikeouts. Graham Ashcraft, who's 2-3, who started the 7th inning for the Reds, gave up all 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning. And finally, we have the Braves 4, Dodgers 3. Austin Riley hit a pair of 2-run home runs, and Atlanta hung on to beat visiting Los Angeles to avoid a 3-game sweep and a sweep of the season series. Atlanta starter Bryson Elder, who's 2-1, posted his third straight solid outing in ending the Dodgers' seven-game losing streak. The right-hander pitched five innings and left after allowing a walk and a hit to open the sixth. He allowed two runs on four hits and two walks and struck out six. Dodgers starter Dustin May, who's 1-2, worked 5 2/3 innings and allowed four runs on five hits and two walks. He also struck out six. He surrendered both of Riley's home runs. And that will put us a little bit past our halfway point in this evening's sports today. Now I will quickly run down the standings in Major League Baseball, starting with the American League East. The New York Yankees are on top at 19-15. 2 games back is Boston at 18-18. Tampa Bay and Toronto are 3 games back at 16-18, and Baltimore 5.5 back at 13-20. In the Central Division, Detroit is on top at 22-13. A game and a half back is Cleveland at 20-14. 3 games back, Kansas City 19-16. 7 games back, Minnesota at 15-20. And 11.5 games back is Chicago White Sox 10-24. And in the AL West, Seattle is at 20-13 on top. 2 games back are the Athletics, 19-16. Houston, 3 games back, 17-16. Texas is 4 games back at 17-18. And Los Angeles is 7 games back at 13-20. And then in the National League East, New York Mets are on top at 22-13. 2.5 games back at 19-15 is the Philadelphia Phillies. Washington is and Atlanta are both 6 games back. Washington with a 16-19 record, Atlanta with a 15-18 record, and Miami is 8 games back at 13-20. In the Central, Chicago Cubs are on top at 21-14. 3 games back is Cincinnati, 18-17. Milwaukee, 4 games back, 17-18. St. Louis, 5 games back at 16-19. And Pittsburgh is 9 games back at 12-23. And finally, in the NL West, Los Angeles Dodgers are on top at 23-11. A half a game back is the San Diego Padres at 22-11. A game and a half back is San Francisco, 22-13. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 5 back at 18-16. And Colorado is 17 games back at 6-28. That is as of this printing. And now on to some racing news, starting with horse racing and the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. Sovereignty reigns. Alvarado guides colt around muddy Churchill course for trainer Mott's second victory in the Derby. This is by Jason Frakes of the Louisville Courier-Journal. Bill Mott no longer needs an asterisk next to his Kentucky Derby victory. The Mott-trained Sovereignty rallied down the stretch to win Saturday's $5 million Grade 1 Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs by 1.5 lengths. On a cool and rainy evening in front of 147,406 fans, Mott picked up his second Kentucky Derby victory. His first came in 2019 when 65-1 shot Country House was put up following the disqualification of Maximum Security. "This is better," the 71-year-old Mott said with his customary dry delivery. "This one got here the right way. I mean, he's done well. He's a great horse. He comes from a great organization." Ridden by Junior Alvarado, Sovereignty covered the 1.25 miles on a sloppy track in 2 minutes 2.31 seconds and paid $17.96 on a $2 win wager. "Every move I was making, that horse was just there for me every single time," said Alvarado, who got his first Kentucky Derby victory. "I made probably 6 to 7, 8 little moves, and he was there for me each time. I don't think I'm going to be able to find the right word to describe this feeling right now." Journalism finished a neck in front of Bayaza for second place. Final Gambit rounded out the superfecta in fourth. The Bob Baffert-trained Citizen Bull led a quartet of early frontrunners that also included Neo Equos, Owen Almighty, and American Promise. As the leaders faded, Journalism took the lead off the final turn and dueled with Sovereignty down the stretch until the latter took over. "I could feel turning for home he was going to get there," Alvarado said. "When we hit the eighth pole, I knew there was no horse that was going to be coming. Sovereignty earned $3.1 million for Godolphin, giving Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum his first Kentucky Derby winner in 13 tries. It came one day after the Godolphin-owned Good Cheer won the Kentucky Oaks. Sovereignty, a bay colt by Intro Mischief, improved to 3-2-0 in six career starts and entered the Kentucky Derby off a second-place finish in the Florida Derby. Baffert's bid to become the winningest trainer in Kentucky Derby history was thwarted when Citizen Bull finished 15th. "This is the first time he ran in the mud, and he didn't like it," Citizen Bull jockey Martin Garcia said. "He never felt comfortable and never fired." Baffert remained tied with Ben Jones with six Kentucky Derby wins. It was Baffert's first trip to the Kentucky Derby since 2021, after suspensions forced him to miss the race from 22 through 24. Journalism became the seventh straight post-time favorite to not win the Kentucky Derby. Justify in 2018 was the last favorite to win the Run for the Roses and went on to capture the Triple Crown. "On the turn for home, he opened up, but I saw the blue silks of Sovereignty coming at us," journalism trainer Michael McCarthy said. "I knew that was the one we were going to have to be concerned about. Journalism ran on the best he could, and he ran a very good race, but the winner ran a better race." Whether Sovereignty continues on the Triple Crown Road, which next up is the Preakness on May 17th at Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, remains to be seen. And in auto racing, starting with NASCAR, Logano shines to win the Worth 400. Joey Logano punched his ticket into NASCAR Cup Series postseason by winning a two-lap overtime dash in Sunday's Worth 400 presented by Liqui Moly at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, Texas. Following the 13th caution after Michael McDowell's wreck after being passed for the lead by Logano, the number 22 Team Penske driver drove away from teammate Ryan Blaney in overtime and held off Ross Chastain by 0.346 seconds for his 37th career win. Blaney finished third and Kyle Larson was fourth. In his 300th career start, Eric Jones brought his number 43 Toyota home in a season-best fifth. Pole sitter Carson Hocevar ended up 24th after wrecking with 31 laps to go. Last Sunday, Logano was disqualified after failing inspection at Talladega Super Speedway. Third in the standings entering Texas, Denny Hamlin's number 11 Toyota caught fire early in the race and left him in the last place in the 38-car field. On lap 75, three-time Texas winner Hamlin had his Joe Gibbs Racing Camry erupt in fire heading into turn one to force the second caution period and create his first DNF of 2025. Austin Cindric netted the top bonus points by winning stage one. Tyler Reddick and Josh Berry finished behind Cindric's number two Ford in strong runs. While leading on lap 126, Berry, seeking his second victory in 2 months, had his number 21 car bottom out on turn four, causing the Wood Brothers driver to loop the legendary Ford of NASCAR's oldest team and pound the front stretch wall. On lap 132, Larson passed leader Todd Gilliland, but soon faced a challenge from hard-charging Reddick. He held him off until Chris Buescher had a flat right rear tire with four laps to go in stage two, which was claimed by Larson with Reddick and Alex Bowman just behind. Halfway through a lap 172 restart, Bubba Wallace brushed the backstretch wall, was tapped by Logano's number 22 Ford, and spun to set up the race's biggest incident, which turned into a six-car wreck that also included Bowman. Xfinity Series regular Jesse Love spun off turn two on lap 219 to set up the final pit stops for the lead group under caution, and third place Kyle Busch wrecked by himself with 38 laps left. Their next race will be this coming Sunday, May 11th, the Advent Health 400 at Kansas Speedway, Kansas City, Kansas, 267 laps, 400.5 miles. And over at NTT IndyCar, Peerless Alex Palou marches into May with Cruz to Barber victory. The March through May is underway for Alex Palou after his dominant victory Sunday in the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix powered by M First on Barber Motorsports Park. Palou earned his third victory in four races this season in the NTT IndyCar Series, driving his number 10 HRC Chip Ganassi Racing Honda to a 16.0035 second victory over Christian Lundgaard in the number 7 Arrow McLaren Chevrolet. It was the widest margin of victory in a series race since Scott Dixon won by 22.22 seconds in August 2023 at Worldwide Technology Raceway. It was the 14th victory of Palou's career, coming on the same circuit where he scored his first win in 2021 with Chip Ganassi Racing. Palou led 81 of 90 laps from the pole and increased his lead in the series standings to 60 points over Lundgaard, entering two races this month at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The Sunzio Grand Prix on Saturday, May 10th on the road course, and the 109th Indianapolis 500 presented by Gamebridge on Sunday, May 25th. Three-time and two-time reigning series champion Palou has won the last two Sanzio Grand Prix while he seeks his first career Indianapolis 500 victory. 2023 and 24 Barber winner Scott McLaughlin completed the podium finishers, third in the number 3 Good Ranchers Team Penske Chevrolet. Rinus VK placed fourth in the number 18 Ask ROI Honda, as he has led Dale Coyne Racing to its best start to a season since 2020. This was VK's best result since finishing fourth in July 2022 at Iowa Speedway for Ed Carpenter Racing. Two-time series champion Will Power rounded out the top five finishers in the number 12 Verizon Team Penske Chevrolet, his third consecutive top six result this season. Checkout time came early for Palou. He jumped to the lead at the green flag and never surrendered it except for cycling through his three pit stops. McLaughlin stayed close on his first two trips around the 17-turn, 2.3-mile natural terrain road course, but Palou built a gap of 1.1 seconds after just three laps, and the margin continued to grow, aided by the third consecutive race without a caution period. The last stretch of three straight IndyCar Series races without a yellow flag came in 1986, when consecutive events at Portland, the Meadowlands, and Cleveland ran caution-free. And as it said, their next race will be the Sanzio Grand Prix on the Indianapolis Road Course. The NHRA Pro Series drag racing was off this past weekend. Their next race will be May 15th through the 18th, the Gerber Collision and the Glass Route 66 NHRA Nationals presented by Peak at Route 66 Raceway in Elwood, Illinois. And in Formula One racing from the Miami Grand Prix, Piastri cruises to his fourth victory of the season. McLaren Racing's Oscar Piastri claimed his series best and career-high fourth victory of the season in the Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix on Sunday. The Australian surged forward from a fourth-place start to lead by lap 15 of the 57-lap race, and held off his teammate, the 2024 Miami race winner Lando Norris, by 4.63 seconds. George Russell was a distant third. Piastri made his race-winning move around pole winner and two-time Miami winner Max Verstappen at the Miami International Autodrome. After exchanging positions three times in three laps, Norris finally got around Verstappen too and raced off to chase his teammate, ultimately claiming second. Mercedes AMG driver Russell passed Verstappen during a pit stop exchange on lap 27 and held off the four-time and reigning F1 champion in the remaining laps to complete the podium. Piastri's victory, the sixth of his career, marks the first time in 28 years that a McLaren racing driver has won three consecutive races. Two-time world champion Mika Häkkinen last doing so for the team back in 1997 and 98. Most importantly, Piastri extended his championship lead to 16 points over Norris heading into the next race, which will be May 16th through the 18th at the Grand Prix of Emilia-Romagna in Italy. Now back over to some baseball from college baseball. Start with the University of Arizona. Cats win the series, but drop the finale. Cats stumble versus TCU on Sunday. Big 12 bye hopes alive. By Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star. Arizona had a chance to solidify its position in the top four of the Big 12 standings Sunday afternoon. Instead, the Wildcats are part of a clump of teams vying for one of those coveted spots. Number 24, Arizona, lost to TCU 13-6 at a windy High Corbett Field. The Wildcats already had clinched the series via a 5-4 comeback victory Saturday night, which followed a 6-3 win Friday. Their quest for a sweep was undone when the Horned Frogs scored in four consecutive innings from the second through the fifth, capped by a 5-run frame that gave them a 9-2 lead. The Wildcats trimmed their deficit to 10-6 with 3 runs in the bottom of the seventh. The Horned Frogs responded with 3 in the top of the ninth. Arizona visits Grand Canyon on Tuesday before playing its final home series versus Utah May 9th through 11th. Then UA concludes the regular season at Houston the following weekend. And over at ASU baseball, road win. Sun Devils take series in Waco, Houston up next. Sun Devil baseball held on for a massive road series win, taking down Baylor in a rubber match 8-6 on Sunday afternoon at Baylor Ballpark. ASU at 32-17, 16-8 in the Big 12, recorded its ninth series win of the season, improving to 9-3 in weekend series. The win, coupled with other results across the conference, leaves the Sun Devils alone in second place in the Big 12 standings. Arizona State is 1 game up on TCU and Arizona, and 3 games behind West Virginia. ASU is 6-2 in the Big 12 weekend series on the year. Josiah Cromwick was the hero yet again with a massive 2-out, 0-2, bases-clearing 3-RBI double in the top of the 7th inning to break open a tight ballgame. Brandon Compton notched 3 hits and 2 RBIs, including 1 in that 7th inning to make it 8-2, and ASU needed all of those to stave off a furious late-inning rally from the Bears. Cole Carlin shook off a funky 8th inning that saw Baylor record 3 runs behind the likes of a jam shot single, a wicked hop double, and an infield base knock to climb back within 8-6. Stranding the tying runs on the bases in the 8th, Carlin returned in the 9th with a vengeance and struck out the first 2 batters he faced before issuing a flyout on an 0-2 pitch to complete the victory. The win marked the 3rd time this season ASU rallied from losing a Friday opener to win a series. Notable as ASU has won just 1 such series in the previous 3 seasons. ASU will not have a midweek contest this week. They're next scheduled to take the field on Friday evening with a 3-game series against Houston at Phoenix Municipal Stadium. And in college softball, over at the University of Arizona, Cats sweep Houston on the road. Number 13, Arizona softball, put a bow on its regular season schedule Sunday afternoon with an 8-3 win over the Houston Cougars at Cougar Softball Stadium. The Wildcats at 43-10 swept the Cougars, who are 22-24, over the weekend and ended the regular season winning all 4 of their road series in Big 12 play. Arizona is 14-3 on the road this season, 10-2 against Big 12 teams. Arizona secured a number 2 seed for the Phillips 66 Big 12 Championship in Oklahoma City this week, which starts on Wednesday, May 7, and ends on Saturday, May 10. Arizona started its series against Houston with a 10-1 win over the Cougars on Friday. The Wildcats' run rule win was sealed by left fielder Dakota Kennedy's grand slam in the 5th inning. Kalea Altmaier and Taylor Beal also had 2 hits each, and the Wildcats scored 10 runs on 10 hits. In Saturday's matchup, Arizona blanked Houston 5-0 and secured its 6th Big 12 series win of the season. Saturday's game started off slow, going scoreless for 4 innings, until Jenna Sniffen drove in Sydney Stewart from third base in the 5th inning, bringing the score to 1-0. Both Sniffen and Stewart were 3-for-3 at the plate, but Sniffen led the offense with a home run and three RBI. The seventh was a big inning for the Wildcats as the team put four runs on the board to take a 5-0 lead over the Cougars. In the circle, Devin Netz, who was recently named Big 12 Pitcher of the Week, threw a complete game with only two hits allowed and eight strikeouts. Her record improved to 20-5 this season. For Houston's senior day on Sunday, the Wildcats set the tone with a 5-run first inning. Kennedy scored the first run courtesy of an Altmaier RBI. Then Miranda Stoddard blasted a grand slam over the right center wall. Now the Big 12 championship is set in Oklahoma City. Since Arizona locked up the number 2 seed in the tournament-style Big 12 championship at OGE Energy Field in Devon Park, the Wildcats will have a first-round bye and face the winner of 7th-seed UCF and 10th-seeded Utah, which play each other on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Arizona will face either UCF or Utah on Thursday at 3 p.m. The Arizona State softball team was off this past weekend. Their next game will be in the Big 12 tournament. They are seeded number 5, and their game will be against number 4, Oklahoma State, on Thursday, May 8th, in the quarterfinals. In some golf news from the PGA, Scheffler matches PGA's 72-hole scoring record. This from the Associated Press. Scotty Scheffler matched the PGA Tour's 72-hole scoring record on Sunday, finishing at 253 and running away with an 8-shot victory at his hometown CJ Cup Byron Nelson. The top-ranked player, who closed with a 63 to finish at 31 under par, tied the mark set by Justin Thomas at the 2017 Sony Open and equaled 6 years later by Ludwig Åberg at the RSM Classic. Scheffler was in position to break the record before a flubbed chip that led to a bogey on the par 3 17th hole and a par from a greenside bunker on the par 5 closing hole. His 8-foot putt for birdie and the record slid by the left side of the hole. Hideki Matsuyama was the lowest score in relation to par this season, 35 under on the par 73 Plantation course in Kapalua. Scheffler tied the 54-hole Nelson record with an 8-shot lead, and nobody got closer than 6 during the final round. Erik von Wooyen of South Africa matched Scheffler's 63 to finish at 23 under, 3 shots ahead of Sam Stevens and 4 ahead of another hometown favorite, Jordan Spieth. Scheffler and Spieth finished with the 2 lowest rounds of the tournament. Scheffler opened with a 10-under 61 on Thursday at the Defensive Par 71 TPC Craig Ranch in a suburban community about 30 miles north of Dallas. Spieth shot 62 in the final round, surging to finish 4th, while watching his friend and fellow Texan alum become the first of the pair to win the event they both cherish. It was the first victory this year for Scheffler, after he won a total of 10 times before May in the previous 3 years combined, including 2 Masters victories. The 28-year-old Dallas resident has 14 career victories. And in other golf news from the LPGA, Ryu pulls away for LGPA victory. Erin Ryu made an 8-foot eagle putt during a flawless back 9 that allowed her to pull away Sunday with an 8-under 64, giving her a 5-shot victory at the inaugural Black Desert Championship in the LPGA Tour's return to Utah after a 61-year absence. Ryu became the second player to go wire-to-wire on the LPGA Tour this season, and it was her second time winning a new event. She won the FM Championship at the TPC Boston last year. And on the LIV circuit, DeChambeau wins LIV Golf Korea. Bryson DeChambeau held off a big charge from Charles Howell III with birdies on his last 2 holes for a 6-under 66 on Sunday for a 2-shot victory at LIV Golf Korea, his first title since winning the U.S. Open last summer. DeChambeau, who played in the final group at the Masters and lost a 36-hole lead at LIV Golf Mexico City last week, started the 3rd and final round at the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club with a 4-shot lead and was even par for the round through 9 holes. And in an article back in the NBA news, Greg Popovich explains why the time was right for him to move on from coaching the Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs announced on Friday that Greg Popovich would be stepping down from the team as head coach and transitioning into the role of team president. While Popovich will have an incredible lasting legacy as a coach, the 76-year-old admitted on Monday that he knew it was time to move on from the role. The stroke he suffered in November that kept him sidelined for the rest of the season seemed to be the main reason for his decision. I can never express the gratitude that I have for so many people caring about the organization and sending me thoughts and prayers, that sort of thing, since I had this stroke, Popovich said. Things are getting better by the day, but it's not good enough for what we plan ahead, so it's time to make this change. In addition to his stroke, Popovich suffered another medical incident in mid-April as he was taken by ambulance from a San Antonio steakhouse after fainting at the establishment. He seems to be recovering well from the incident. Mitch Johnson, who took over as interim coach for Popovich last season, will replace Popovich as head coach. Popovich officially introduced him as the new coach on Monday while sporting an El Jefe shirt to signal him becoming the boss as the Spurs president. Popovich leaves the coaching world with quite an impressive resume. He is the winningest coach in NBA history with 1,422 regular season wins. Popovich also won 5 NBA titles with the Spurs, which makes him just one of 5 coaches in NBA history to win at least 5 championships. He ranks 3rd all-time on the playoff winning list. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, May 6th, 2025. I'm Russ Werner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left-click on On Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.